racism in America. A situation which, if allowed to drift, will, in the words of Abdu'l-Bahá, cause the streets of American cities to run with blood. I know we've been uplifted here today, and I'm not trying to bring you down. But what I'm saying is, if we don't address this most vital and challenging issue, we will continue to have blood flowing through our streets. I want you to feel alarmed. I want to move you and call you to action. I hope that I can share a little bit of inspiration with you today, a little bit of knowledge, and a call to action. It's only going to better our country and the world if we all figure out a way to contribute our share to the solution of this problem. Become a champion in the fight for justice. We need you. We need each and every one of you. I want to tell you a little bit about my journey and how I came to be here. I grew up in a little beach town called Jupiter, Florida. I was actually born here in Southern California. And I grew up in a Baha'i family. And growing up in a Baha'i family, I always had diversity. There's this unity in diversity that is sprinkled throughout all Baha'i communities all over the world. And my parents sent me to private school when I was 5 years old in kindergarten. And one day I came home from school and I asked my mother what the N-word meant. I'd never heard that word before. Not from my parents, not from any of their friends, not from my community. And my mother said, oh no, not my child. And a year or two later, she decided to take me to a Black Baptist church, way out west of town, in a remote area. I'm pretty sure we were the only two white people who had ever stepped foot in that church. We had a wonderful church service. The pastor, when everything was over, invited all the children to go off to Sunday school. And my mother looked at me and said, hey, Faith, all the kids are going to Sunday school. You should go too. And I said, no, I'm going to stay here with you. And she looked at me and she goes, why? All the kids are going. You need to go too. And I looked at her and I said, I'm different. And in that moment, she decided to use it as a teachable moment. And she said, good. Now you know what it feels like. Because there were only one or two black children in any of my classrooms. And she said, it is your job to make them feel just as comfortable there in your classrooms and in your playground as they make you feel here today. And in that moment, a social activist was born at the age of 5 or 6. Growing up reading from the Baha'i writings, I was very inspired by the following quote from Baha'u'llah. The well-being of mankind, its peace and security are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. Started thinking about that. I'm like, well, how do we create unity? And doing further research in the Baha'i writings, I came across the following quote. The purpose of justice is the appearance of unity among men. Friends, can we have unity without justice? Can we? I don't think so. So we all have to become champions of social justice. We have to learn how to come together and do our work. If we don't live in a society that is just, what are you doing to bring justice about? What are you doing to create environments where unity can flourish? We must realize that only when each one of us shares our gift with the community will we be able to come together in a unified way. But it takes every single one of us. If we live in America, this is our problem. If you think that, well, I'm not black or I'm not white and I wasn't here and I wasn't a part of slavery, therefore it's not my problem, I'm here to tell you, you're sorely wrong. Today, every day moving forward, know that you impact the lives of people all around you. The way that you treat people, the things that you say, these things have an impact on race in America. So I want you to be cognizant of that, and I want you to always search for ways to become a champion of racial justice and social healing. I moved to Chicago when I was 18 years old. And I was asked to join the Bud Billiken Parade Committee. And this was one of the largest parades in the country, actually. Bud Billiken was this mythical creature who believed in seeing the world the way things should be, not the way things are, and was actually founded by a Baha'i back in the early, like, 1910s, 1920s. You know, the Baha'i community is diverse, so we show unity and diversity. And they wanted us to take part in the float. But our committee came together and said, but if we're just showing up and showing the community that, yeah, we have unity and diversity represented on our float, but we're not on the front lines doing the work, are we really making a difference? So we decided to put together a week of programming, workshops, trainings, a mini conference, if you will. We brought in Dr. Joy DeGruy. She was at the time presenting on Dr. Nichols' work on axiology, and she just started developing post-traumatic slave syndrome. And friends, people were moved. We did the work, we were on the front lines, we were doing the training, and that's how you roll up your sleeves and make a difference. So I decided that I was going to put myself through school and double major in African American studies and cultural psychology, because I knew the only way to really address racism in America and promote unity is to understand the history that we come from and the psychological impact that it's had on us all. A few years later, I had the opportunity to travel to Eastern and Western European countries. It was just a year after the Berlin Wall came down. And what we saw was that African students were being the victims of hate crimes. And no matter if I was in an Eastern or Western European country, the one thing that we did see was that music was that universal language. Music brought people together. And I had a dream. I had an idea. I was like, I want to create a song similar in scope to We Are the World, but that really addressed racism in America and promoted the oneness of humanity or racial unity. So fast forward a couple of years, number of years, I'm out here in Los Angeles visiting some dear family friends, one of which happens to be a Grammy Award-winning songwriter and producer. And we had been focusing, actually deepening on the quote that I opened with. That quote a lot of people have never seen before. And we were like, we were hot. We were like, we want to do something. We've got to do something. And Casey starts telling me about a song that he created with Carlos Santana. And it had this rich texture of Latin rhythms, a roaring gospel choir. And he was talking about how really it shows unity and diversity in music. And I was like, oh my God, Casey, I can't believe I haven't ever shared this with you before, but I had this vision. I wanted to do a song similar in scope to We Are the World, but that really addressed racism in America. And he was like, that's a great idea, but let's not do just one song, him being a big picture kind of guy. Let's do an entire record, and let's team together diverse artists, not only racially speaking, but also music style genres. And let's, you know, really create a conversation piece for people at work, at their churches, and their community centers. And I was like, yeah, and when we get all the money from the sales of that CD, let's do workshops and conferences and trainings, and let's really launch, if you will, a systematic coordinative plan of action of how we do address racism in America and promote the oneness of humanity. Well, after doing that for about 7 years, we did over 100 programs. I'm very proud of the work that we did. We did a songwriter summit for oneness. We produced a CD. We did workshops for children, youth, and adults. We did an annual awards show. And after 7 years, I really needed to go and get a job because the funding never came in from that CD. So I went out and I went back into the food service industry. And funny enough, if you would have asked me when I was 14 who I wanted to be when I grew up, I would have told you a caterer. I had a passion for food as a child. I loved to bake. When all the kids were out playing, I was making fresh bread or cookies or crepes or, you know, I got my first Martha Stewart cookbook and I'm looking at mine and looking at hers. And I'm like, how does mine look better than hers? And I'm only 14. But it was a gift, just one of those gifts that I had. And I'm also a true believer that we show people that we love them through what we serve them, how we serve them. We put our love into the food, you know? Fast forward a couple of years, I moved from LA out to Washington, D.C., and I joined together with a dear friend of mine and now business partner, Dr. Zita Rezvani, and we both were passionate about social justice. We both wanted to create a business that would give back to the community. We both wanted to create an environment that uplifted people when they came in our doors. We make homemade ice cream using liquid nitrogen. It's a lot of fun. You can see the kids playing in the smoke down there. Each of the tables were handmade by my brother. There's a quote of love on one side, a quote of faith on the other. Abdu'l-Bahá wrote, "Where there is love, nothing is too much trouble, and there is always time." Quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase." I want each of you to remember that quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. If you don't know what your mission is and the solution of this problem, it's okay. But take the first step, even though you don't know where the staircase will lead. We, the American nation, have to come together in unity. Only if each of us are playing our part and doing our share can we truly have a just and unified community. Start small. Don't think you can go from 0 to 60. If you're at the racism 101 level, move up to 200 and 300 and 400 and 600. Don't think that you can become an expert overnight. Work within your sphere of influence. Love people. Genuinely love people. If we genuinely love people, we will change the world. I mentioned that coordinated systematic plan of action. We do need it. Hopefully one of us will create it. Hundreds of thousands of people are showing up at rallies and marches across the country, across the world, because they don't like what they see. If we had a plan in place for people to step into, they'd show up. Do your part. Find what your voice is. Surround yourself with diversity. Learn about another person's story. If someone is telling you they've been hurt and they're peeling back their scar and sharing their wound with you, don't ask if it hurts. Show compassion and empathy and work to understand where they come from. When you hear someone say, "Black Lives Matter," please don't ever say "all lives matter." All lives have not been the target of hundreds of years of oppression and hatred, systematically. The Black Lives Matter movement is a movement that says until people who are killing these black lives are held accountable for what they've done, you show us that our lives don't matter. That doesn't happen when a white person is killed. They are held responsible. Please don't say all lives matter. Educate yourself. Read a book. If you only read one book, I'd recommend Joy's book, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, because it gives you a history of our nation and it moves in towards healing. Instead of spending that hour on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, a movie or a documentary can really help inform you, educate you, inspire you. Show up. Enter the room. Don't leave when it gets uncomfortable. Go to talks, workshops, community gatherings that deal with race in America. If you show up and play your part and create personal, informal, sincere relationships, you will change your community. You changing your community will change the society. Us changing the society will change the world. I want to end with this quote. "Let neither think that anything short of genuine love, extreme patience, true humility, consummate tact, sound initiative, mature wisdom, and deliberate, persistent, and prayerful effort can succeed in blotting out the stain which this patent evil has left on the fair name of their common country." Friends, you can't sit by and watch this happen. You have to be on the front lines. Wake up, step up, do your part, love humanity, and look for the commonness in all of us. When we do that, we will change the world. Thank you.